called by Cal Pierce called Preparing the Way. And it's the reopening of the John Lake Healing Rooms. It's casting vision for healing rooms around the world. Anybody has a vision for prayer and healing? Yeah. It's one of those days where the Lord has just given me sort of words for people. Let me hand the other book. Okay. Oh, this one here. This is recorded live at the Sydney Entertainment Center. And the groups are called Jeff Bullock, Darlene, and the Totally Rad Band. And it's called Youth Alive, Jump to the Jam. The Lord said to pass this on. It's in the family. Peter Wagner, your spiritual gifts can help your church grow. Your spiritual gifts can help your church grow. Sharon, there you go. Your spiritual gifts, you're loaded. Sharon, as I've been able to sit in her class, prayer class, she just has that apostolic calling of acknowledging people and raising up leaders. And it's really, truly a gift. So that might help you. Okay, last week there was a young man that didn't get a T-shirt. Is that your son?
Yeah.
Okay, make sure he gets that. Finally, I was going to put these on and then take them off. But I tried to put them on, and my stomach's a little big. It's perfect for Luke. It's perfect for Luke. We'll go with the coat. There you go. With a nice hanger. Okay, we have a short time because we have deliverance today. I mean, we have communion today. It's called Signed, Sealed, and Delivered Too. And it's about deliverance. And like I said before, deliverance, I mean, you can see books on it, and there's teachings on it, and you go to seminars on it. It goes on and on and on. But at the same time, we've come to discover in our own life that it's just a revelation. Deliverance is a revelation of the truth from the Lord, and it's just the basics of Christianity. And so in the basics, I'm going to go to John 3:16. So they have it up there. I don't know. I came a little late with these. I'm going to read it because this is just, in fact, I think I'm going to start in John 3:14. And Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. It's that simple. Deliverance comes that simple. It's that truth that we must believe in. It's that truth. And believing in the name of God is the only Son. Actually, I had a question here. Believing in the name of the only Son of God. And Luke, what is the name of the only Son of God? Amen. The extra credit right there. It's my teaching gift. I used to always call on the students. And I would, for some reason, the Lord put Luke in my mind. And the purpose of the truth, the purpose of knowing about Jesus is and believing in his name and what he's done for us is in John 8:31. And the title of my book says, The Truth Shall Make You Free. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Jesus answered them, Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Believing in Jesus Christ and who He is, and believing in Him is the freedom. And that's the purpose of truth. Because the purpose of the enemy is to keep you bound in fear. Fear of failure, fear of comparing yourself to others, fear of failing other people's expectations of you. Those things have sort of become secrets and little hidden places. And what it does is that it sort of isolates you from the truth that you are indeed free. And this is something I could write a book on this in my own life about from the beginning of my walk with the Lord about becoming free as a man who was totally bound in fear, the fear of shame. So on the other side of shame, if you feel proud, it's the flip side of shame. You're covering up for that, and that's where the pride comes from. Once you start walking in humility, and that's a gift, and as you seek the Lord and all these things, we don't have to do it for Him. That's one thing I think that hopefully we can bring across, that it's all a gift from God. And freedom from the strong man, that's Matthew 12. I'll read this last scripture here. 12:28. And Jesus is speaking. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or how can you enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house? The strong man is the liar. That's the liar that tells you all these things about yourself. That you're not good enough. You're not righteous enough. You're not worthy enough. It exposes your weaknesses. And in verse 30, he who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. But the good news in this house is that everybody is with him, and he's with everybody here. So we got it. That's the first part of it. The first part of it, that he is with us. I mean, easily I could go on from there, but I don't want to run out of time, and I don't want to lead into what Marcia has to say, and we will come back. But what is deliverance? It's a revelation of the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth is Jesus Christ is your Lord, and if you choose to believe it and rebuke the lies of the strong man, and you'll find freedom. Okay. So Marcia's going to talk about the steps of deliverance.
Morning again. This is a really exciting story for me because it says clearly God has a plan and we are part of that plan, and it's always there, it's always unfolding, even though you don't see it many times as you're walking out your daily life. It's there and it's happening. So one day, this was a few years ago, Robert and I are on our way down to the rescue mission to do a Tuesday night service for them. And as we drive down the street, I felt like the Lord gave me some steps. And we were doing a prayer ministry then, and I started writing them down. I didn't even know exactly what they were, but I started writing it down, what I felt the Lord was telling me. And I wrote it down, and I looked at it, and I thought, these are steps of deliverance. These are steps to free someone from some kind of bondage. So I put it back in my purse, and we head down there, and we do this service. And at the time, I was just beginning to have words of knowledge for people, or speak out words the Lord gave me, and see if there was someone there who needed prayer. And it was a big thing for me. I was always really nervous about it and worried that, you know, nobody would come up or it would, you know, just, but I figured, okay, I'm just going to let that go today. I'm going to say what comes and then, so I must always get words during worship. So during worship, I wrote down a few words that I had. And one of the words that I had was very specific, more specific than I'd had before, and for me, a much bigger step. It was that someone there had cancer. A woman had ovarian cancer. I even knew which ovary it was, the left ovary. And that was a big thing for me. I mean, I hadn't gone much past a headache before that, or, you know, a shoulder problem or something, you know, but nothing like that. So I figure, okay, I'll just say it, and if nobody responds, then I'm not going to worry about it. So we did this, and I put, you know, I gave the words out, and some of the words were answered. People came up, but nobody came for that. And the thing wound down, and we were getting ready to go, and this man came up to me, and he said, I want you to know that that word you had about cancer, that's my wife. And she's sitting over there. And she was afraid to come up for prayer. You know, and a lot of times at the rescue mission, you're not sure how saved people are, you know, how much experience they already have with the Lord or in the church. So, anyway, I said, well, let's go pray for her. So he took me over, and I got the steps. I knew the steps were for her. I knew at that moment that what I had written down, the Lord had given me for her. So I got it out of my purse, and I, you know, it just sounds really like kindergarten or something. I mean, here's this woman who's going to pray for you. She gets the steps out of her purse and starts reading them. But, you know, We just went with it, and so I started going through the steps one by one, and we got, and she did it. There's some response in these steps, and she did the responses, and we got towards the end, and she said to me, still chokes me up, she said, did you see that? And I, you know, I look up, and I saw this black shadow leaving from above her, leave the room. I think she saw much more clearly than I did. And it was cancer. I don't know, you know, if healings are always deliverance or what, how that is, but in her case, she was delivered of cancer right there. She was supposed to go to the doctor the next day, her husband told me. And they were going to do a further examination and get ready for surgery. So we gave her a prayer of blessing. I didn't even get her name. I never think about that kind of stuff. Anyway, she left, and then we did the service at the mission once a month. So the next month, when we were doing it, they came back. And the husband came up and said, we went to the meet with the surgeon and arranged the surgery, and the cancer was gone. So we even had a confirmation, which was really good for my, confidence. I'm always, you know, thinking, did anything really happen? You know, I mean, just doubt. But I knew, I have to say, that one was so solid. I knew we were walking in the Lord's grace. And so we began to use those steps That was maybe about a year before the renewal. And when the renewal came, and that was the time when several hundred people came every night to the church for prayer and worship. We used it a lot. And then we taught it. So I brought the steps for you. And I'll just read them. I think it's always good to do this. You can always do these steps with people in a prayer situation, and they're just affirming. Every time you are delivered, you are reborn in God's glory. You're a new creation. It's such a glorious and wonderful thing. So here they are. The first step is to ask the person if Jesus is the Lord of their life. And to ask them to say, Jesus is the Lord of my life. If they're not saved, you can do a real quick, you know, salvation prayer with them right there where they receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. If they are saved already, but it's good to affirm it at the beginning. This is about spiritual authority. So what you're doing is you're putting Jesus in the seat of spiritual authority by beginning with Jesus is the Lord of my life. Then the second step is to affirm that if it's a specific thing, like in the case of the cancer, to say, I am forgiven in the name of Jesus. Because you are then like cleaning the house, sweeping out anything that is not from the Lord. You can specifically say, if it's a maybe like a sin like jealousy, I am forgiven for jealousy. But you can also just say, I'm forgiven for sin in my life. Then the next step is that sin, or sin in general, has no authority and power in my life. The next one is to renounce it. I renounce sin in the name of Jesus. In her case, I renounce cancer in the name of Jesus. That's the one that's specific. You should ask them to specifically say whatever it is, if you can. Because the renunciation is a key, I think. And then you affirm that they are receiving the unconditional love of the Lord. So you fill that back up with the hole where you removed like a bad tooth or something. You took it out. You fill that back up with the unconditional love of the Lord. So that what is left is the joy and celebration of the Lord in their life. Did you? Yeah. I have a couple of scriptures that sort of affirm what we're talking about. And they are, oh, I know. Well, I don't know where it is. Okay. 1 John 1, 7 through 8, which is, just say, oh, great, thank you. That we walk in the light as he is in the light. We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. So this is the basis for those steps that we just got. why they're so powerful?
Yeah, because we're not a slave to sin. We're slaves to righteousness by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the way it is. And the enemy will try to confuse you and say, no, how can you be a slave to righteousness when you have these kind of thoughts, or you do this, or you're jealous, or ambitious, or whatever it is? But that's a lie. Because it's not, it's by grace we're saved. It's by the unmerited, favor of God, the unmerited favor of God through His Son Jesus Christ.
And then the other one that's the most key to me is 1 John 4:7, which is,
dear friends,
let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Did you get that right? wait a second. I think it's, well.
This happens between husbands and wives.
I wrote it down for him, but it doesn't. It should be 1 John 4:2. This is how we can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. That's the beginning where you say, Jesus is the Lord of my life. You then are acknowledging that you are in the Holy Spirit, and any other spirit has no authority there. Should be 2 instead of 7. Handwriting. Okay.
Okay, what we're going to do before then is we're going to go into a lab workshop here of doing this. But the Lord put this on my heart this morning about when I was first became a Christian and I was zapped by the Holy Spirit and my life was changed. And the Lord was encouraging me and He was giving me words of knowledge, and I was seeing all kinds of things happen. And from a guy who thought he was totally incapable of being loved by God, I started seeing myself with favor. And I came to a place one evening when we were praying, and I sort of prayed out. I said, Lord, I want you to do this. I can't remember what it was, but it was something really sort of spectacular. And the Lord spoke to me, and He says, do you want to be the Amazing Kreskin? Amazing Kreskin. About 35 or 40 years ago, there was a man called the Amazing Kreskin. He was on Johnny Carson all the time. Luke remembers him. This guy was incredible for mind reading. He'd take two blackboards, two chalkboards, and put a piece of chalk in the middle and tie it together and hand it to Johnny, and then they'd call on somebody in the audience and said, give me a number. And the person would say a number, they'd open up the chalkboards and the number would be written in there in chalk. I mean, he did all kinds of things. And people were just amazed by him. He was the Amazing Kreskin. And the Lord asked me, He says, do you want to be the Amazing Kreskin? And His question humbled me. Because all of a sudden I realized, yes, I wanted to stand up and I wanted to say these things. That way people wouldn't really know I'm no longer a sinner. Because I would give my testimony all the time, to the point I was ashamed. I did all these terrible things, but I have to share it anyway to talk about the forgiveness of God. And I wanted approval. And when the Lord said, do you want to be the Amazing Kreskin? I said, no, I want to be your man. And after that, it seemed like my life changed. Because there were people that saw Marsh and I, and they said, we would get all these prophecies over us that we were going to lead men and women, and we were going to do this and that, and we were called by God. And I think that we could have stood up and started writing books, could have got on the circuit, raised ourselves up and petitioned and went different places, but we didn't do that. We just felt, okay, we're going to go where we're invited to go. And that's what we did. It was a different, long sort of pathway, but the Lord has brought us here in doing that. And we've been walking in peace. And there was a time after He asked me, do you want to be the Amazing Kreskin, that I just sort of discounted myself. To the point I think I went too far. There were times when I had opportunities and I said, no, no, I'll step back and step back. But that's where the Lord does in your life. It's sort of like he takes you one way and another. And then he started encouraging me from the brokenness and the bottom part of it. And to the point that we're confident in the Spirit of the Holy Spirit. We're confident in the presence of men and women. We feel a connection with that. No matter who you are, if you're at the jail or at the rescue mission or at a church, is that the Lord has given us that just that acceptance and just to be part of the body and just sort of acknowledge growth in the body. So I just wanted to talk about that before we get into the steps, because we're just going to go through it. And it's something that God does. When Jesus Christ asked Peter, who do you say I am? He says, who does the people say I am? You're Elijah and you're John the Baptist. They mentioned all these people. And he finally said to Peter, who do you say I am? And Peter looked at him and went, you're the Christ. It's just like, and he says, flesh and blood did not give you that answer, but my Father in heaven. And that's what's going to happen today, because we can't do this. We can't talk you into it. We got a short period of time here, so I would like you all to stand up. We're going to ask the Holy Spirit to bring whatever he's going to do in your life. I'll let you do this. And I'm just going to call the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, Father. Send your Holy Spirit. Your promise, Lord. Your deliverer. Your deliverer of good news. Come now.
In 1 Peter, where he says, leave all malice or sin behind. We have these moments. And this, I'm going to pray that the Lord, if there's anything that the Lord is delivering you from today, that he will convict you now, or he already has, you already know if there's something that you're unloading. And you can never stop this. I know I'll be doing this to the last day of my life, letting go of things that I don't need, that aren't part of the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to start with this acknowledgement that, and say it with me, Jesus is the Lord of my life. Jesus is the Lord of my life. And then I am forgiven for all sin. I am forgiven for all sin. And then sin has no authority over my life. Sin has no authority over my life. Thank you, Jesus. It's your power, Father. I renounce sin. In the name of Jesus Christ, I renounce sin in the name of Jesus Christ. I am filled by the unconditional love of the Lord. I am filled by the unconditional love of the Lord.
this healing coming. I see the spirit of healing upon men and women here. If it's physical or emotional, but the Lord is bringing, the Holy Spirit is bringing healing. Just receive it. If you need healing, claim it. And the Lord is also speaking His word. It is by grace that you're saved, and it's not of works. Just receive His grace. Never be ashamed to receive His grace, because God's grace glorifies Him. In your weakness, He will be made strong. Amen. It's that simple. If you'd like to talk about this, I don't know if we have time now, but if you felt the Holy Spirit touch you or talk to you during this, please talk to Marcia and I afterwards. What we're going to do is now prepare for communion. So I'd ask the elders, however you do this. So Pastor Dan and Pastor Ricky, I want you guys for something, or somebody who does this. You know, that's one thing about this congregation, is that I look at all the men in this room. I mean, you're all pastors. I mean, it's almost like, let's lay hands on them and send them out. Okay. Come on, men. Teamwork. Put your hand on my hand. Okay, pastors. Father, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you for the team that you've given us. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Lord. Thank you for the bond of relationship you've given us. Bless these elements, Lord, for your glory and for our freedom. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So line up. Presbyterian Church. I was about 10 or 11 years old. After Sunday school, I was waiting for an activity, so I went into the church, and I saw they were passing out something to eat, and grape juice. I'd never tasted grape juice before in my life, and I saw it, and I couldn't wait. And as soon as it came to the time for me to get it, there was an older woman next to me. She wouldn't let me take any. So I didn't get a chance to get the communion. Maybe I was too young or what. All I know is that afterwards I was down in the cafeteria and they had a whole glass of grape juice. And I stood there and I stared at it and I stared at it and I stared at it. I wanted somebody to offer. I was too timid to ask for it. I wanted to taste it. It looked so good. And if I knew what it was about, and that which I do now, I just praise God for giving me the thirst for His blood. In 1 Corinthians 11, it's the institution of the Lord's Supper. Paul writes, "For I have received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Eat this, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" His body was broken for us so that we would have whole bodies. His body was broken the way the enemy tries to break your body by robbing you of the truth of who you are in Christ Jesus, who you are in the eyes of the Father, of robbing the good news. And through us taking up his body, we're restored to that new, redeemed body. So let's take his body right now. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So we take this, and whenever you take a cup, and you need to remember that Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life. Jesus is the Lord of my life. By the blood he shed, we walk as free men and women. Nothing can deny us from the truth of who we are in God. So let's take it now. Come to my house for a minute. You get a whole glass of it. Hallelujah. Lead us into worship there, sister. Let's just worship the Lord.
Above all powers, above all.
You took.